upon God, he can identify with, he can lay his hand upon us both. He has to be able to identify with God, and he has to be able to identify with man. To be able to lay his hand upon God, he has, you understand, he has to be God. And to lay his hand upon man, he has to be man. Let me show you something. Go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Look at chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. In John chapter 5, and beginning at let's start at verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. And now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, there's our phrase, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. In verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 25, the Son of God can lay his hand upon God. In verse 27, the Son of Man, he can lay his hand upon man. And because he is this unique person, he has the capacity to bring God and sinful man. He's able to resolve the problem that divides them, that separates them, which is sin, and bring reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19 talks about to wit, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Only God can save, only God can be Savior. You remember David said in Psalms 51:4, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And this brings me to my final point. The Savior must be God and man, is what I was just alluding to a moment ago. I kind of got ahead of myself on one point there, so I wanted to get that Psalms 51:4 in there to conclude the point about only God can save and only God can be Savior, because we sin against God. And what that argues for is that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, must be God. But more than just simply being God, he must be man also. And so he is. Job 9:32-33, that was the point. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and see how this is clearly and plainly brought out about the Savior must be God and man in one person. And the only view, the only doctrine of God that would provide for this unique individual is the Trinity. There is no other way to provide for this mediator than the doctrine of the Trinity. Okay. In Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch what he does here. Who being in the form of God, now that'll match John 5, the Son of God. Who being in the form of God. Okay. And by the way, there's no thought of being created. In other words, he's not a little God. He's not the first of God's creation, and all other things are created by him. It's like John, the Gospel of John, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? That's what, who being in the form of God. There's no thought of him coming into, being created or coming into being. His eternal existence is declared in those words, who being in the form of God. And the same thing in John 1:1. There's no thought of coming into being. His eternal existence is declared by those words. In other words, when all things began, the Word already was. That is the second person of the Godhead, the one who was made flesh and dwelt among us, John chapter 1, verse 14. Has always been God. There's no thought of him coming into being. He was not created to be a God. He is God. He has always been God from eternity past. He is God. He's the Son of God. In other words, he's the Son of God from eternity past that dwells with the Father in this eternal relationship. So going back to Philippians 2:6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He did not have to aspire to be God. He didn't have to do like Satan, who was a created being, who had an exalted position in God's creation, one of the most beautifulest of God's creation, and full of wisdom, the total sum of wisdom, you might say, in one respect, got beside himself and was exalted beyond measure and declared that he would be like the Most High God. In other words, he aspired to be God. Well, the only reason you need to aspire to be that which you're... let me say it this way. The only reason to have such an aspiration is because you're not that, and you want to be that. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to aspire to be God. Why? Because from eternity past, he's had an eternal existence with the Father. He's eternally existed as the Son of God. Hold your place here in Philippians 2. We're going to come right back there. I want you to take a look at John chapter 17, the Gospel of John chapter 17, and we're going to begin at verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So go back to Philippians chapter 2. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Okay? He took upon himself the form of a servant. That's his humanity. The form of God, that's his deity, the fact that he is God from eternity past. The taking upon himself the form of a servant was an act that took place in time. We'll see that in a moment in Hebrews chapter 2. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is how God is just and the justifier of them which believeth in Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 18. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And by the way, when it says he was made a little lower than the angels, that's not declaring that the second person of that the Son of God was created by no stretch of the imagination. Look over with me real quick at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 4. We'll come back to Hebrews 2 in a moment. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, notice, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Okay? And that's what, and go back to Philippians 2. So that's what Philippians 2 is saying. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit. The justice of God confirms the Trinity. Only God can save. Only God can be Savior confirms the Trinity. The Savior must be both God and man in one person in order to effect reconciliation between God and man. That confirms the Trinity. And there are many that attack our faith by denying the doctrine of the Godhead, denying the doctrine of the Trinity. But I say to you again, the more you know and understand about your faith, the stronger you are. Know that the doctrine of the Godhead is essential to your salvation and acts as an anchor of the soul, keep you from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for posting there for me, Brother Greg. If you have any questions or comments, this is your time. I will release the mic. Raise your hand if you have a question or a comment. I will acknowledge you. So, I'll release the mic. All right. If there are no questions or comments, we'll call it a night. Again, thanks for sitting in and being a part of our study. Until next week, God's best to you all. We'll be closing down the room at this time. Love you all. Good night.